Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tucson to Topeka, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How are we doing today, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Sorry for the fits and starts to begin this show, but I'm staring at Mraz on the other side of the glass dancing as he pounds through another bag of Utz potato chips. It's only 9:04 a.m., and already Mraz is through bag number three and has mislabeled our opening cut, 1023-UTZ. So if you have any idea of how this show is going to go, that's a pretty good place to start.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Let's just start there in the cold open. Whereas, what flavor Utz are you eating, considering they dropped by two boxes of free potato chips?
Right now I'm going with the barbecue, also gluten-free. Okay. I've already had a salt and vinegar, and I got a party mix. Now I'm going to finish off in the 10 a.m. Eastern hour.
Okay. Now, how close are you to your desired 100-pound loss, Mark?
I'm 110 pounds away.
Okay. Coming up this morning on the show, Kevin Carter's going to join us. He won a Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams. Kevin Carter, now a member of the CBS Sports Network. He's a college football analyst. We'll talk college football with Kevin Carter coming up a little over an hour from now. Also, today we'll delve into whether NFL Films screwed over Sam Darnold in the now infamous clip, "I'm Seeing Ghosts." Florida State's AD has some really weird ways to defend Willie Taggart by using the phrase, "if he got hit by a bus." Not exactly the phrasing I would assume you're going to do if you were defending him. Also, we'll talk about last night's battle for L.A. as the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard sent a statement to the NBA and the LeBron-led Lakers. And plenty on last night's World Series game number one. We've also got a champ and a chump this morning. All of that coming up this morning on the show. And I want to read to you a really amazing email that I got from a listener not too long ago, coming up a little bit later on in this hour, because it really was powerful and meant a lot to me. So all of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, the phone number is toll-free, and I want you guys to use it and use it well. Here it is at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, easy enough, just get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's start in Houston last night. Did you know that the Washington Nationals had come into this World Series as the biggest underdog since 2007? Since 2007, 12 years had passed since anybody was a bigger underdog in the World Series. The Houston Astros, winners of 107 games this year. The Washington Nationals, a plucky, fun Cinderella team that had gone from the National League wild card to the World Series themselves. But when you looked at what the Astros brought to the table, of course, winners of the World Series 2 years ago, defeating the Yankees in what many people, including myself, had believed was the de facto World Series in the ALCS. Going Garrett Cole in game number one, Justin Verlander game number two, Zach Greinke game number three, the clutch hitting of Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, George Springer, the type of team also with home field advantage that felt destined to win the World Series for the second time in 3 years, and that the Nats, you know, great season, wonderful story, breaking through that glass ceiling that they could not win in October, but ultimately falling against a more powerful foe. And then last night happened. You know, the Nationals, upon learning that they were the biggest World Series underdog since 07, kind of laughed. Remember, that 07 World Series was a Red Sox machine that had won the World Series a couple of years before and was consistently one of the best teams in baseball, taking on the Cinderella Rockies. And Colorado had kind of swept their way through the end of September, through the playoffs, and then got swept themselves by the Red Sox. And everybody knew going into that series, the Rockies kind of had no chance. That's how little respect the Nationals were getting from Vegas coming into this series. That they were being compared to the 07 Rockies. And when you looked at it, look, yesterday I said I still think the Astros are going to win the series, but I said the Nationals are going to win a few games here. I had Astros in six. Last night, it looked like it was going to go the way of the Astros early and often when they get out to the 2-0 lead. And then the Nats took you for a ride. And what a clutch piece of hitting from Ryan Zimmerman, the longest tenured National, hitting that home run in the second inning, which everybody in that locker room would say later broke the ice, broke the tension. Remember, the Nats had 6 days off in between the NLCS sweeping the Cardinals and game one of the World Series. And they give up the two spot early, and their ace on the mound, Max Scherzer, does not look dominant. And it looks like it's going to be a long day, a long game one, and that's going to set the tone for the series. And instead, Scherzer settles down. Zimmerman's home run breaks the ice. And from there, the Nats seize control. Not before the bullpen nearly gave it up, but when the dust cleared last night in Houston, the Nats had a game one win over Garrett Cole. Do you know the last time Garrett Cole lost? May 22nd. The Nats beat Garrett Cole for the first time since before Memorial Day. Think of how insane that stat is. Garrett Cole had not lost since late May. He had not lost in 5 months. Garrett Cole, let me just state that again. He had not lost in 5 months to the day. The Nats get game one, and suddenly this is a really interesting series. Let's start here. Are the Nats a team of destiny? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
3-2 to Soto. Swung on, hit in the inner left field. Brantley going back against the Crawford boxes off the wall. Bounces by him back toward the infield. Robles has scored. Rounding third is Rendon. He comes in to score on a booming double off the left field wall by Juan Soto.
He's showing the fastball everywhere. The first couple of innings, he started throwing and throwing and throwing it. I just waiting for that. Just see it on it. After the first at bat, I was like, he's throwing really hard, but I just tried to see it back and hit the ball the other way.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Charlie Slows on Nats Radio. That was Juan Soto, who had himself a game at 20 years old. 20 years old, joined Mickey Mantle, Andrew Jones, Miggy Cabrera as the only players ever to hit home runs of the World Series before the age of 21. You know, I think it's totally disrespectful that the Nats were that massive of an underdog coming into this series, because they had proven this October that they were not the same old Nats. But the reason that those odds and that stigma carried with them into the series is, number one, the Astros have looked like a machine all season long. Number two, the Astros have won the World Series recently, so we have this recency bias that they're going to do it again. And number three, that the Nats swept through a mediocre team in the Cardinals, and really, as a wild card and never having October success before, are not looked at as the team that can do it this year. In American sports, we oftentimes don't believe it until we see it. And now, like we didn't believe the Astros until they actually did it 2 years ago, we don't believe the Nats could do it until we see it. And that's unfair, and that's a shame, because the Nats are better than that. And they showed this last night. And guess what? In game number two, they've got Steven Strasburg out there going tonight against Justin Verlander, who did not look good his last time out against the Yankees. It is absolutely on the table that the Nats go back home up 2-0. And then what does this series look like? Look, the pressure is right now squarely on the Astros. They have to get game number two. The pressure is absolutely on the Astros. And at times last night, there is a weird sense of frustration from Houston that we have not seen in a long time. The Nats right now are playing with house money, but guess what? They're dangerous because they're really good. When you throw Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin 1, 2, and 3, and Corbin got an inning last night, and you do this on 6 days rest, and you have a lineup that has Rendon and Soto 2-3, you are looking at a bunch of guys in there that believe they are greater than the sum of their parts, but really the sum of their parts is pretty damn good as well. This series is really interesting, and it's because the Nats don't know what they don't know. They don't view themselves as this plucky Cinderella happy to be there. No, they're like, we're a really good baseball team with stars all across our clubhouse, and we shouldn't be these massive underdogs, and we're going to prove you too. We're going to prove to you, everybody, why. Big time win last night. And that bullpen nearly coughed it up. Nearly gave it up. That's going to be the thing that is going to scare Nats fans most throughout this series, whether that bullpen coughs it up. But that was a bumpy landing, a lot of turbulence, but they end up landing the plane and a game one victory in Houston. Wow, was a wise man once said. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, it was fun to see Mraz have it shoved back in his oinky snout that the Astros put it right on his Yankees. However, it might have even been more fun to see the Nationals put it on his Yankees, because imagine how aggressively bombastic and arrogant he would have been going into a World Series against the Nats. He called Yankees in 5 in the ALCS. It would have been Yankees in 2 in the World Series had they been playing the Nationals.
It clears it. You can't win a series in 2, Damon. It has to be 4. But we know the Yankees would have steamrolled the Nats. Come on. And the Astros are too. The Astros are going to win the series in 5 games.
What will it say if the Nats win this series and beat the team that beat you guys in 6?
That the Yankees just taxed the Astros to the point they couldn't figure it out versus the Nats. And it probably should have been a Yankee World Series.
When we come back here on the show, last night Kawhi Leonard makes a statement in Chapter 1 for the Battle of L.A. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, duh.
Great to be with you, man.
Yeah.
You got some KC roots, duh. I'm curious if you still got people there. We're going to find out.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, I love the duh.
22 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on a fine Wednesday. So glad you're with us. Champ and Chump coming up, hour number 2.
That's nasty, stinky Paul Pierce.
Remember that the D.A. Show's full episodes are available in podcast form. So if you miss anything or want to hear it again, Simply download it from iTunes, radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, other places that podcasts are downloaded. Or you can go to the website, cbssportsradio.com. It's also an Ask the Pros Day where you get to send us a question. Simply tweet at it, DA on CBS, tweet it at us, and I'll read it coming up later on in the show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Big show coming up for you this morning. We've got Kevin Carter, former Super Bowl champion of the St. Louis Rams, 14-year NFL veteran. We'll talk some college football with Kevin coming up here at the top of the next hour. Also, I got a really poignant email from a listener that I want to read coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. Last night, the NBA season opens up. I want to start with the first game. The Raptors getting an overtime victory over a very frisky Pelicans team without Zion Williamson. Look, that Pelicans team is going to be way better than it's been in recent years, even including Anthony Davis. It is a good roster. It is a deep roster. That trade to get, well, to give up Anthony Davis gave them so many different assets and other players that that's a pretty good roster. And don't be surprised if the Pelicans play good basketball throughout this season. Now, I don't know, the defending national champions at home, or the defending champions at home being pushed to overtime by a team like the Pelicans, I'm not sure that says something about the Pelicans, and it says something about the Raptors. The Raptors aren't a true defending champion, unfortunately, because Kawhi Leonard's in a different zip code. But I think it says that the Pelicans, when they do get Zion back in 2 months, are going to be one of the most interesting teams in basketball all season long. From the Raptors' front, great night. Hang the banner. Revel in the joy and the glory of being champions. But really, it is such a weird defense of the NBA Finals because it doesn't feel anything like last year's NBA Finals team without Kawhi. It's like you want to, if you're a Raptors fan, just keep reliving last year, and you want your year of defense, and yet every memory of last year goes back to Kawhi. Kawhi's bouncing shot to beat the Sixers, Kawhi's remarkable postseason, Kawhi's incredible NBA Finals, and then you look around, and Nick Nurse is there, and Kyle Lowry is there, and Pascal Siakam's there, and there's just a huge void. It's like the Patriots winning a Super Bowl and Tom Brady not being under center for week number one of the following season. As for the rings, these are the largest championship rings that any NBA champion has ever had. But at what point is too big? What point is really big too big? I mean, you can't even really wear these rings anymore. At some point, shouldn't they just be a different part of jewelry? If you can't actually wear the ring. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they're really cool. But the guys, when they got them, were saying, yeah, it's uncomfortable to wear. I mean, I've had the good fortune to see some of these recent NFL Super Bowl rings. And, Mraz, we've had Sean Landetta come in here and drop his two Giants Super Bowl rings from 86 and 90. And they're good rings. They're like kind of, they're alumni rings or class rings on steroids.
Right. It's like going to high school, getting your class ring, and then you pop in a couple extra diamonds in there.
There's diamonds in there. It's got some weight, but you could go out and wear it.
Sure.
And then we've had like Sean O'Hara or Lawrence Tynes or David Deal bring in their rings for the New York Giants. And they've got two, 07 and 2011. And you can't wear those. Those are not rings you wear out. Like when you watch Brady put on all six of his rings, he can't wear any of those. He certainly can't right. wear five of them or six of them.
I was with you when I put on Sam Madison's Super Bowl 42 ring, and that weighed my hand down. It fell to the ground.
We were at the Super Bowl. Was that the Houston Super Bowl?
No, San Francisco.
San Francisco Super Bowl. We end up connecting with friends of ours from Miami. Sam Madison had played in Miami for the Dolphins. He was part of the Dolphins broadcast team, I believe. We caught up with him. Mraz, of course, goes gaga over the 07 Giants.
Madison was gaga to talk to me. And he was like, Mraz, I can't believe you're here.
Yeah, right. And then Mraz says, can I wear your ring? And so, of course, one too many cocktails. It's about 12:30 at night. You end up wearing the ring, and you're flashing it all over the bar.
Not only that, Sam Madison let me wear it by saying, yeah, I know your pudgy ass can't outrun me if you try to leave with it.
Hello! Did he use pudgy?
He used the word pudgy, which I respected.
And, you know, okay, he can wear the 07 ring out, but that's like the last year you could actually wear it. Now you cannot wear these rings out. They're just basically like, if it's an event, I can hold it in the palm of my hand.
If your championship was played on HDTV, you probably can't wear your ring out.
So how can we keep getting bigger and bolder on these? I mean, this kind of seems insane.
No, they should be handing out championship Apple Watches now.
There should be some other type of jewelry to hand out. The diamonds, great. Okay, the worth of it, totally great. I'm for all of these guys having something that's worth that much money for what they did accomplish. But it can't, this arms race of getting bigger and bolder and more crazy can't keep happening because the human hand is not going to grow. You know, the dimensions of a human hand have to just basically remain the same. I think we've got to have a better solution here because when you can't wear the actual ring anymore, then it just sits in a glass case in your office, I guess, in your home?
Yeah, but why not just put them on a necklace? Like, everybody has the bling, right? So make it like a chain.
I think now, not everybody can pull off a chain. I certainly couldn't pull off a chain.
I think eventually, though, if you started wearing them, at first it might be startling, but 2 weeks in, you'd be like, oh, you look good in that chain.
But it shouldn't be a ring on a chain. It
why
should
not?
Be No, it should be almost like a medallion on
like,
a chain.
Like a spinner?
It should be something that is less a ring and more of something you can wear, like you said, on your wrist.
Right. Wear it like, I'm serious, get like a blinged up Apple Watch should be your new Super Bowl championship ring.
Or it could be a bracelet that has like a big medallion on top of it.
That's true too. Because here's the thing, rings are kind of out in general, right? If you see somebody out not wearing a wedding ring and they're wearing some other ring, your immediate thought is, loser.
Even if it was an NBA championship ring?
Well, I mean, in theory, you're not a loser, and I guess. But other than, like, that's the point. Unless it's your wedding ring, like, the only other people wearing rings are championship rings. It's not like it's a fashion faux pas. No, faux pas is the bad thing with fashion, right?
Right. It's not a fashion staple.
It's not a fashion staple. No, people like chains. People like things around your wrists now.
I think we need to evolve this.
Can I, on a side note, just ask Sean how to spell faux pas?
F-O-H-P-A-H.
That's one word or two?
One word.
D-A, back to you.
F-O-H-P-A-H.
Yeah.
Faux-pas.
It's like we're spelling Play-Doh here.
Yeah.
Let's get to the late game here. The battle for L.A. last night and Kawhi Leonard sending a message.
Leonard on the right wing, guarded by James, attacked down the right alley. Pump fake in the lane, turnaround jumper from 8 feet is good on the right block. Kawhi Leonard stuck on automatic with 28 points. 106-96 Clippers in front.
There's so many other things. He made so many smart defensive plays with switches and challenges and deflections. And he really made some great passes today as well.
That was, of course, Doc Rivers after the win, 112-102. That was Noah Eagle, the radio voice of the Clippers on Clippers Radio with your call. Kawhi, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I said this yesterday. I think we're going to see this all season long. I think Kawhi is now entering this rarefied air where he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants on the basketball floor. And against good teams, bad teams, great teams, not so great teams, you're going to watch Kawhi, as long as he stays healthy, do all types of incredible things this year with another good team. I mean, last year he was on a good team and showed his dominance. A couple of years on the Spurs, he showed his dominance on a good team. This year's a good team as well. And I just think that we are watching a historic run by a player that could, on both sides of the floor, dominate and do what he wants, impose his will. He got to his spots on the floor, hit jumpers last night, made a few baskets at the rim as well with his explosive nature. He plays great defense, and everybody on his team believe that he's the best player on the floor on every given night and that they're going to win. And the Lakers are going to have to figure it out. Of course, when you have LeBron and AD, you have top-end talent, and you will be able to figure it out most nights. But I just think that Kawhi's at a totally different level of taking over games and confidence and the assassin ability. And think about this. I mean, he's won championships in two different franchises and has a good chance to win a third in a third different franchise. I think he's in a comfortable spot. It feels like he's more comfortable with the attention than he's ever been. And he took the microphone last night before the game and thanked the crowd for being there. Of course, was drowned out by boos from the Lakers fans that were in attendance. But I think he's now coming into his own from a confidence standpoint, from an attention standpoint, and from a dominant standpoint. And last night's the first of many nights on the Clippers that he is going to simply impose his will against good teams, great teams, whoever he wants to. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the day, including Bill Belichick on his newest wide receiver and Kyrie Irving on a culture shift in New York City basketball. Plus, I want to read to you an email that I got from a listener that I was really touched by. Coming up here next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You like that, big boy?
You're going to get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not going to get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Currently writing manuscripts for Terminator 19, The Revenge of LeBron. The DA Show is also available to watch every single day. WatchDA.com is where you can do so on your phone, on your tablet, on your smart TV, on your laptop, your PC. Whatever it is that you want to watch us, you can do that simulcast, just like we're on TV. At watchda.com, but it's TV for the kids because it's digital, okay?
Electronically ignorant.
I want to read a really powerful email that I got from a listener coming up here in just a few minutes. I've got a champ and a chump a little bit later on in the show. And tomorrow, Super Dave's going to join us for his college football picks. And we are now almost at Halloween. We have not decided what is on the line between Mraz and Super Dave for picks. Why? Because while Mraz is a wonderful character for the show, details not his strong suit. And
are you kidding me?
Yo, you better chill, dude.
No, you better chill. I have agreed. Basically, I'd walk around this office naked if I lost. I've agreed to any bet under the sun. Dave Friedman is your friend. He is your college buddy. He is your choice to replace Huge Freeze. And he is the one who has danced around and objected to every bet we put out there. And you're going to put the details on me? I'm basically ready to put two honeycombs stuck to my ass and walk down Central Park again just to make sure a bet's taken care of. And you're telling me I have no details? Are you serious? No, you smell butts. I'll stand for a lot of things. I will not stand for being thrown under the bus on this. I'm not Willie Taggart.
Who's our guest this morning?
It was supposed to be Kevin Carter. It was just canceled. That's, again, not my fault. I did my job. Amicably?
Do your job.
Again, I'm fine being a punch bag. To tell me when it's your buddy who was screwed this, that I'm not doing details.
Okay, so you've tried to work out a deal with him, and he said no to everything.
Everything! He doesn't have a good idea for any idea I come up with. Well, I don't want to do this. The guy didn't want to dress up like Cam Newton at a game. How hard is that to do? Like a moth. And that's my fault. I am going as far as to say I'm willing to do a PTI with that fat slob, Robbie Rosenhaus, just to make sure the show has some content.
Okay. Settle down. Settle down.
Fat.
Settle down.
You poked the bear.
I did not mean to poke the bear. Okay, I didn't realize that Super Dave was the one that said no to everything.
All right. You know what? I'm not going to argue here. If you didn't realize that, yeah, you got a lot going on in your head.
I knew that he did early, but have you been constantly trying to workshop this? Or did we like three ideas like 2 months ago?
Well, then I told him flat, Dave, we've pitched like eight ideas. Why don't you come up with something, come back to me? I don't know. I'll keep thinking of it. Like, I'm just getting danced around. Like, what am I supposed to do here?
Okay. I didn't realize he was dragging his feet here.
Yes.
Okay. My I apologize. That's my bad. Okay.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have snapped at you like that.
No, my bad. I did not realize.
My bad.
He was the one dancing around. Because I've got a good one on the line and cooking in my head that I was going to bring up on the air. But I've got to see what the Super Dave man will be willing to do.
All right.
Excuse me. My bad.
Sorry that we just got into it. As long as we're on the same page. Okay. Just certain things I have to stand for.
No, that's fair.
I got the scores right. I got the winner wrong. My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
I did not mean to challenge your integrity here on the show.
I should have saved that for a break. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'd rather do it on the show. All right, let's let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Belichick on how stunned he has been to Sanu.
We're working through that, but he's, you know, we'll see. We'll put him in and see how it goes. But, you know, he's a talented player. He's got a lot of experience. He's, you know, done different things, so we'll see how it all fits for us.
A news.
Frankly, I think it's a little much to be giving up for Mohamed Sanu. I think that for a team that is always really protectively collected their draft picks and would never buy high, buying Sanu at that price feels high to me. But as I've said before, I mean, considering that is Sanu that much more effective than Emmanuel Sanders, and what basically they gave up basically a three for Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, I guess both those prices feel a little high, but here's the thing about the Patriots. I don't think that they would give up a second round draft pick for Mohamed Sanu unless Tom Brady was applying pressure. And I think that Brady applied pressure coming into the season. The deal that he reworked gets him out of any type of contract with the Patriots following the season. He has sold his house. And I think, as I mentioned yesterday, I think he's sending messages to the front office that I don't know if I'll be around. And so you better give me the tools to win, because that's the only thing I'm about at this point in time. If I'm going to stick around for another year or years, every year, much like LeBron James looks at it, I better have a chance to win. I hold all the power in this relationship. And I think for Brady, bringing in Antonio Brown was done for 12, was done for Brady. And, of course, they got rid of him. And Brady's been upset. I think Gronk, his retirement, and the inability to replace him effectively has made Brady upset. And Brady saying before the Monday night game two nights ago that, you know, that we're coming to the end here, and kind of being open about we're coming to the end. He said this on WEEI yesterday as well, has been sending messages. Hey, you better take advantage of me while I'm here. I hold the cards. And trading a two for Mohamed Sanu feels like a more aggressive play than the Patriots have ever made for a wide receiver of his ability. Is he good? He's fine. Is he a difference maker? I don't think so, to the level of giving up a number two, but this is the pressure that Brady's applying to the franchise.
Mohamed Anous.
Kyrie Irving said no to the Knicks and yes to the Nets.
The same people that have supported basketball, New York basketball, are still here, and they support the Brooklyn Nets now. So it's just a respect thing. If you can play, they'll respect you.
I think that the Nets will become a trendy team this year with Kyrie Irving in New York. The Knicks are going to be bad again. I think next year it's going to be a real trendy thing to root for the Nets when Kevin Durant is back. And in the city of New York and the tri-state area, it has been trendy to be a Nets fan for like 2 out of 35 years. And that was the two NBA Finals years. And because the Knicks have been so bad for so long and so dysfunctional for so long and had so little star power for so long, outside of a brief glimpse of Carmelo and Amari, that the Nets are poised to take a metropolitan area of 25 million people, if you take the tri-state area, and funnel all of the basketball attention to them, and they've never really ever had that. And finally, Michael Jordan was on the Today Show and said he didn't believe that Steph Curry was a Hall of Famer yet.
Four guys for your pickup team. Four guys that you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I play against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know. Every single night, that responsibility to go out there and represent greatness every single night.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches
this. I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
So I think if Steph Curry retired today, he would be a Hall of Famer. I think Steph Curry, with his championships and huge shots in playoff games and kind of revolutionizing the game in terms of the three-point shot and making it the sexy thing to do. Yeah, I think that Steph Curry with MVPs, he would be a Hall of Famer if he walked away today. For Michael, look, this is what Michael does. Michael looks at the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, a lot of the same way most of us look at our high school years or our college years. We had the best college years. We were in the best era. I grew up in the best decade. The music in my day was so much better. The TV, the movies, the sports. We had real teams. This is what he is doing. I mean, there's just no way James Worthy ever makes the all-time starting five for anybody. But, you know, for Michael, it's Olajuwon, and it's Pippen, and it's Worthy, and it's guys that he played with, because that gives him a sense that he played in the greatest era, which is what most humans do. I grew up in the best era. That is your best audio of the day. I want to read an email that I got the other day from a listener named Nate. Hey, DA, I work second shift and listen to you guys on the radio.com app. Listening to the PGP last night at work, Mraz's interview with Rob and the 321 was very impacting for me. My uncle killed himself New Year's Day 2018. He was my closest family member and the reason I have such a passion for the outdoors. I don't often have the chance to listen live, but when I do on Fridays, I'm always checking in from Wisconsin while fishing. I was having a very difficult time in life after he passed, and your show helped me through it. You guys are great. Always could bring a smile to my face when seemingly nothing else could. Just wanted to say thanks and keep up the great work, except the football food of the week Mraz needs to get his act together. Thanks again. You guys are the best show in the world on radio. Signed, Nate. And I just wanted to read this and say thank you to Nate. And I want to say thank you for all of the listeners that whenever you guys share stories like this, it means a lot to me because I know they come from a really earnest, honest place. And sports talk, you can flip around the dial or have other shows on these same channels and networks, and it's going to be really aggressive, and it's going to be really in your face, and it's going to be really hot takey, and it's going to be bro festy. And I'm really proud that this show isn't that. I'm really proud that this show is a place that people can be honest, whether it's good or bad, it's tough or it's happy. I'm really proud that the culture of this show and the listeners of this show feel safe enough and feel loyal enough to share things like this. And, you know, Rob and the 321 shared a story about losing a family member to suicide on the PGP with Mraz a couple of weeks ago, and it was really powerful. And, you know, Rob kind of said the same thing, that this show represented a safe place for him and a happy place for him at a time that was really dark. And I don't read this email or mention these stories as a way to stroke our own ego. I say this because it is very powerful for me and for all of us here on the show to hear stories like this, to know that when we come in, we joke around, we have fun, we take this job seriously, but obviously we want it to be a happy place, that there is an impact behind it and that it does matter to people. And I hear a lot of stuff on radio and I don't think it does many people much good. I think it's there for the ego of the host. And you guys know the type of shows I'm talking about. Aggressive, bro-festy, you know, kind of alpha male type of takeness. And I'm really proud that this show is not that. And I'm really proud this is a place that you guys feel connected from a really personal place. So I want to say thank you for allowing us in like that. And I want to say that we take this responsibility really seriously. And stories like this hammer home why we do it and how we do it, and that every day we will strive to do it better. So thanks, Nate, and thanks to Robin the 321, and for anybody that uses us as a happy place and a bright place, because everything else is dark. Life is tough sometimes, and the world gets really tough sometimes. And if we can be a bit of a lighter place for you to go to, I'm really proud of that. So thank you for sharing those stories. When we come back here on the show, stay with us. I want to talk about this Willie Taggart situation. Remember, if your affiliate switches, don't worry. You can get us on radio.com, CBS Sports app, watchda.com, or anywhere else.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.